Dave, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Very well, very well. Just spent a week in Indianapolis and got to see the very best Canadian prospects. Five of them, never before, five Canadians have been drafted in an NFL draft. We'll see whether or not this will be an historic one. There's certainly a good chance, I think, that we are going to see that.
What is three the most Canadians in a year?
Four. There's four. Been four, okay. I think, a couple of times. And you know, I was looking this up. When I think, you know, you never want to look at one year and say, is that a blip? So I was kind of going over it and saying, okay, I think it's either three last year and four the year before, or four last year and three the year. It's seven the last 2 years, regardless. And so if all five get taken, that 12 over a three-year period is also an all-time high. There's never been a three-year period where we've had 12 drafted. So that's probably better evidence that we're kind of into a wave here, rather than just kind of looking at the one-year most ever. And you know, you just look at the kinds of players that are showing up in U.S. college consistently. There's some real differences. I think, you know, the time that I've been covering Canadians going to the NFL, it used to be, you know, long snappers, kickers, and punters, and some offensive linemen sprinkled in. And you look at it this year, I mean, it's a defensive end, two offensive linemen, a safety, and a running back. You know, we had two defensive backs, you know, a couple of receivers, three defensive backs, a couple of receivers, a defensive lineman. I mean, if you look at the last 3 years alone among those 12 players, there's players on both sides of the ball all over the field. We're not kind of in these sort of niche roles that Canadians used to be. And we may have a quarterback taken next year if Curtis Rourke lights it up again at the University of Ohio. He's got 2 years of eligibility left. This is, of course, Nathan Rourke's younger brother. I think there was a decent chance he probably would have been in the transfer portal to a Power 5 school at the end of the year, except he suffered an injury at the end of November. Some real question about when he's going to be healthy. I talked to him about a month ago, you know, on schedule, feeling good, all those kind of things. But I think it did affect him, the transfer portal ability. But he's got 2 years of eligibility left, and he's firmly focused on the NFL. And I know that Farhan Lalji told me that when he talked to Nathan about, you know, going around doing his tour of teams that he was working out for, you know, he got questions about his younger brother from NFL teams as well. So it's a very exciting time to be following Canadian prospects right now.
Mention Chase Brown. How would you compare him to Chuba Hubbard?
I mean, Chuba is world-class speed, right? Like, before he committed to football full-time, he was tied for fourth in the 100-yard dash for under 18. So he's basically the fourth fastest under 18 on the planet. So he had, like, super-duper elite speed, which is why his high school film looks outrageous, right, when he's playing against, you know, some good athletes, but not a lot of great athletes at high school football, probably. And you've got a guy who's a world-class sprinter blasting by them. It's quite something. and so, but in terms of their, as college players, I would say this. Chuba was more the, you know, hit the hole and gone guy, right? Chase is maybe a little more kind of variety. I there's a quote that his coach, Brett Bielema, at Illinois said this year, and I've kind of repeated this to kind of describe Chase Brown a little bit. He said, I've had guys, you know, who can hit the hole like him. I've had guys that can bounce outside like him. I've had guys that can break tackles like him, and I've had guys that can run over people like him, but I've never had a guy who does it all. So versatility was really his calling card, and it was funny. When Chase was asked about it this week, he answered, when he was asked, what sets you apart? He said, my burst and my versatility. One thing he does, at least he has done coming out of college a lot more than Chuba Hubbard did, is catch the football. And that's a big, big part of a running back's job in the NFL right now. And Chuba didn't do a lot of it in college. Chase done much more. Chase has been more durable. He's also been more of a workhorse back. I mean, he's had games where he's had like 30, 35 carries a game and done it week after week after week. And I don't know if he's ever missed a game in college. It, certainly in the last couple of years, I can't think of a circumstance where he was out because of an injury. And again, he is a workhorse. You know, Chuba didn't carry the ball quite as much as that, I don't believe. And Chuba did have some injury questions. That was one of the things that was kind of around him. So, you know, Chuba's advantage would be, you know, I think the flat out speed. And I mean, Chase ran a 4.43 yesterday, so he's no slouch. And I'd have to look and see what Chuba ran at the combine. I assume it may have been faster than that, but that's basically how I would kind of, you know, evaluate them.
Dave Naylor joins us. What would be your projection on Chase Brown? Where do you think he gets drafted?
You know, I'm gonna defer to Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network because he made his evaluations on these players about 10 days ago. He has Sydney as a second to third round pick and Chase as a third to fifth. And I think that the issue for Chase, and look, yesterday might have changed, the combine might have changed some things, right? Not only his times, but I was talking to an NFL scout yesterday who had done the Chase Brown interview, you know, and I mean, he comes across as a guy you want in your locker room, right? There are no red flags on these guys. They're, you know, they're leaders, they're good students, they're mature young men. I think, you know, going through that process can help his draft stock as much as running 4.43, I think, because there are some guys that when you meet them in person, it might not help their draft stock. And when you meet Chase Brown in person, you know, it certainly would. And then you've got the fact that the NFL devalues the running back position, right? Teams just don't spend high picks on it because of, and this is the next reason it's tough to predict, there are so many players with similar skills kind of at the same level. And they're considered not necessarily interchangeable, but you're not going to necessarily spend your upper picks when you think you could get a guy just as good in a round or two later. That's just the nature of any draft. So I think that third to fifth round grade on him is probably pretty accurate. And, you know, maybe yesterday he pushed himself into the third, fourth conversation as opposed to the fourth, fifth. But I think that's, you know, the two brothers, their times and everything were so similar in the weekend. You know, they're similar in a lot of ways. One plays offense, one plays defense, one's more extroverted, one's, you know, more introverted. But I think, you know, looking at him as a mid-round pick, I think he's very reasonable.
Now, looking at some of the other guys representing mm-hmm. Canada, you know, there's Bergeron from Syracuse. Of course, Chase's twin brother, Sidney Brown, who also goes to the yep. Illinois. Tavius Robinson, Sidney Sow, of course. You know, you look at this group of players. Of the other four, which one do you think has the best chance for success at the NFL?
Oh, boy. Okay. I'm going to have to think because I think there's two guys that have a chance to be very successful in the NFL and this class. Matthew Bergeron, you know, is like he's a left tackle. And it was funny at his availability. He says, you know, he's talking about the versatility and he played guard at the Senior Bowl in January. And then he kind of stopped and he goes, hey, but let's not get it twisted. All right. In this league, I'm a left tackle. And he probably knows the left tackle is the second highest paid position in the NFL after quarterback. And I mean, you look at him move, you look at his size, you look at all the things. I mean, a guy who's a left tackle who has taken, he's got a chance to crack the first round. But even if you're a second round pick who's a left tackle and you're succeed in the NFL and your second contract, you could be talking about $100 million. Like that's how much value Matthew Bergeron is sitting on. You know, it's not at all out of the question that he could make, you know, money in his career that would be measured in hundreds of millions of dollars, which is, you know, amazing for a guy who showed up at Syracuse's camp and they didn't know who he was and had never heard of him and offered him a scholarship pretty much on the spot or within a couple of days. The other one is Sidney Brown. And I tell you what's really interesting about Sidney Brown. And in the years that I've been covering Canadians trying to reach the NFL, there's always kind of this, you know, they have the physical skills, but, you know, do they have the football IQ? Do they have the instincts? More even than the football IQ. Football IQ you can learn, but football instincts is kind of harder to replicate, you know, maybe a little later in life. And in Sidney Brown, we have a guy who is a safety that is drawing comparisons to Troy Polamalu and Tyrann Mathieu. Those are instinct players. Those are guys that played safety with like, they were almost, you know, they were moving before their brains even realized what they were doing, kind of. That's the way they play the game, right? And that's what Sidney Brown does. You know, Sidney Brown has a line that he used it the other day. He said, when I think, I miss. Like his whole presentation of his game and the way he plays is I get out there and it becomes automatic. Like I just see stuff, I trust what I see, and I react to it. He doesn't think about what he's doing. Now, to hear a Canadian player you know, who played all his football in this country up till he was 16 years old, described in that kind of terms, is a bit of a wow moment for me. And I think Sidney Brown, I mean, he, again, another captain on defense, led the nation in interceptions, Illinois' defense number two in the league, considered a box safety who could do, who did one-on-one coverage outstanding at the Senior Bowl, ran a 4.47. You know, there's a lot of stuff stacking up in his favor. I think he could have a very, very successful NFL career.
Dave Naylor joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. Now, Dave, you were at the Combine, and I saw another offensive lineman, you know, pull a hamstring in the Why are offensive linemen like, it's 2023. Why are offensive linemen running a 40 when they're never, ever doing it in a game? Ever.
It's a great question, and there was, you know, I saw an agent. It was actually Chasen Sidney Brown's agent on Twitter was saying they've added a bunch of receiver drills. And he was saying, like, okay, this is ridiculous. Like, we have all these new receiver drills. Like, can we just interview them and draft them and move on? And, like, there is a degree of ridiculousness to it. I certainly agree. And I think that I would be interested in knowing from the teams even, and I should ask them, like, obviously know some NFL scouts, like, how much of the value of the combine for them is what happens in the stadium and how much of it is what happens behind closed doors, you know, when they meet with the prospects, right? And there's formal and informal meetings they have, I guess. And I'm not sure how that process happens, but a lot of guys are asked, you know, you'll be standing in a scrum and it's like, do you meet with the Bears? Yes, I did. Formal or informal? Informal. It was interesting when Chase Brown was asked those questions and he was asked informal or formal, he always said, I'm going to keep that private, where I think Sidney answered it. But anyway, it's just interesting. Some guys do, some guys don't. But I don't know how much that stuff matters to teams, even the stuff that would seem more meaningful, like the 40 and stuff like that, as opposed to the time to interview these guys and kind of get to know them a little bit behind closed doors. I think that's probably more meaningful. But I agree. I saw the offensive lineman who pulled the hammy. You know, I watched Sidney Sal run the other day with the fifth fastest time and asked myself, what does that mean? I don't know. and Matthew Bergeron, you may have noticed, sat out the 40. Probably didn't hurt his stock at all. That, you know,
exactly.
when you're playing left tackle, you don't need to know how fast your left tackle can get 38 yards down the field. So I don't get that one, but it's kind of taken on a bit of a life of its own. I think the whole thing. It's really just a giant football convention, you know, where you've got, you know, agents and players and GMs and coaches and scouts, and it just goes on from. I mean, it starts at 7 in the morning and goes till 11 every night, and then boom, the next day, it's you come out of it kind of feeling a little exhausted.
Dave, great stuff, man. It'll be interesting leading up to the NFL draft, and then of course the CFL draft. Thanks for your time.
Hey, my pleasure. Looking forward to the CFL Combine week. I'll be out there in Edmonton in a few weeks.